that's
kind of a user pay concept, but it's interesting, Representative Davies, where you talk about that being an equally acceptable, and I think in a lot of respects it is, but it doesn't look that way. I mean, when it still looks like an increase in the budget, because all we're... I drive my staff crazy because I tell them I want the program receipts part of the budget in a separate part of the budget, so I'll know, you know, how much, you know... So then we would have segregated the straight general fund part of the budget, then we would know whether that was going up or down, and then we'd have a real picture. They tell me they can't do it, but anyway, that's long been my goal, is to pull out the program receipts, because that really is something that you're charging the public for a service. They're either willing or understand the benefit of it, one or the other, of that service, and I think that ought to be off some separate place, and let's deal with the real places where we have a choice to make, whether we do it or not. But we haven't been able to find out how to do that yet.
Well, I would share your desire there to separate those two. I think that we, it seemed like we were oftentimes cutting the budget last year just in places where we were cutting program receipts as well, and it seemed like that was counterproductive. And I'd like to ask specifically with respect to the increase that Chairman Larson mentioned in occupational licensing in the Department of Labor, if that's one of these cases. Is that, if I recall right, didn't we authorize through legislation Department of Commerce to increase fees to cover that increase in occupational licensing?
Yeah, the occupational licensing increase is all a result of increase in licensing fees to those people being licensed, and so it's a net zero as far as the budget goes. But it does show up as an increase in the budget.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions on the revenue side? Just running through some of the decrements to see if it rings a bell at any members of the committee may have any questions on. Notice under the Department of Law there's a $300 reduction, so we won't discuss that at this time, although it may become an important issue. On the Department of Education, really about $4.4 million impact, of which $3.3 million of it is on additional district support in K-12. And then we have a little over a $1 million reduction in pupil transportation with 90% funding. When we move to the Department of Health and Social Services, we have $3,068,000 worth of reductions. The largest one being, of course, in Medicaid non-facility, $691,000. Infant Learning Program grants, a reduction of $200,000, and API, a decrement to the increased mental health trust income account of $1.5 million. The Department of Labor, we have a total reduction of $55,000. In the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and we have two here that the committee may wish to discuss, amounting to about $5.7 million. With $3 million of it being a reduction in the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council and $2.7 million being a reduction in the Fishery Enhancement Tax receipt. There's a decrement to grants due to formula-funded adjustments for estimated tax receipts. So must mean we're getting less money than what we anticipated. Military and Veterans Affairs. Disaster Relief Fund is reduced $2.9 million. Under the Department of Fish and Game, there's a $48,100 decrement. Under Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, we have a $1.9 million worth of reduction, with $1.5 million of it being in statewide highway and aviation maintenance and operation. And that's the deletion of the general fund program receipt landing fee that I believe the courts had said we could not do. Department of Community and Regional Affairs has a total of $39.4 million worth of reductions. The Office of the Commissioner, $475,000. Designated grants, $892.5 and $40.7. Senior citizen, disabled veteran tax relief, homeowner property tax exemption is a a reduction of $1.5 million. The renter's rebate is $448,000. And, of course, the 50% reduction to revenue sharing is $16 million. And the 50% reduction to municipal assistance is $20 million. So that makes up the $39.4 million in the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. The last major reduction we've already discussed, the 27.4 at the university, in which they have to have the same amount of money as last year, but they accepted the increment and also gave them a decrement unallocated of the same amount. So those are some of the major decrements contained within the proposed budget. Does anyone have any questions on any of those? Representative Davies?
I would like the administration to come back to us with a definitive answer to Representative Martin's question regarding the university budget and the fee increases.
Okay, just moving on.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the list that you're reading from under the Department of Community and Regional Affairs Office of Commissioner, there's the Alaska Legal Services for $475,000. What is happening to that function? Is it being deleted? Is it being reduced? What level of funding would it be?
Well, that $475,000 decrease would delete the funding of Alaska Legal Services, and generally it was in Department of Community and Regional Affairs, so we deleted the funding for all of the designated grants to nonprofit organizations, that being one of them.
So as far as your budget is gone,
it's a nonprofit organization that gets most of its funding from elsewhere, and this has been the part that the state has put in for that organization.
You can go ahead and erase this. Representative Martin? Oh, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Representative Martin?
Thanks, sir. Mr. Passman, have you, some of the formula programs really worry me, and I'm trying to get a idea of what's causing the rise, not only inflation and so on, but have the departments come to you, especially for senior citizens and maybe a younger generation with health care and things like that. Is it a natural growth within our society? A lot of people, including myself, think that there's an immigration of older people coming in to take advantage of what we have to offer, an immigration of young people with children coming in. Who aren't being satisfied with welfare down in the lower 48, but maybe they're coming in here. And I know our population is growing, but it's just not the natural birth of our own people. Have you been able to ask the department what's driving these formulas up besides just inflation?
We've had verbal discussions, but I haven't seen a report that identifies the specific factors that cause those. I know all other states seem to be experiencing about the same rate of growth as we are in those programs, which makes you wonder if that's the real reason for it. But I have the same concern that you do, but I haven't seen a definitive report. There may be one there, I just haven't asked for it.
Especially in our seniors at 55, when you see the numbers that are 64 and 63, it ain't a 10% differential between suddenly 65. And yet we've been growing at 10% for, what, 3 or 4 years in a row now for the senior programs, and something's wrong there.
Yes, we got some people that are growing faster, older, at a faster rate than others.
Is that your problem?
That's what gets you working at OMB.
Right.
You grow at twice the rate.
You hear that, Nancy?
Oh. She was just a young lady last year.
Look at the bad company she's falling into.
Any other questions at this time on the decrements? Just one or two other general questions that I had. We are in a situation with the declining revenue, as we all know, and we also have approximately about 5 months, a little bit over, left for fiscal year 95. We also had, as I noticed on the spending plan, a calling upon using both the statutory and the constitutional budget reserves to help balance the budget for the remainder of this year and for next year. And I also noticed that as of December the 15th, 1993, and I'm not necessarily suggesting because I don't know what all goes into these yet, but we did have about $295 million worth of appropriations that were still unencumbered last year. Does the administration have any plans on looking at any of that to help to reduce any of the budget gaps, or any thoughts at all in relation to it?
Well, it's been our thought and feeling that that's something that, that the legislature and the administration ought to discuss and talk about, and if there are appropriations that the legislature has made that you think we ought to reconsider, we're certainly happy to reconsider those with you. I haven't looked at the list of $295 million, so I don't know what it is, but we're certainly open for discussion, but we are not actively looking for unencumbered appropriations to not spend, if you will.
Sure. Seeing I brought it up, I could probably define it a little bit for the record. It was prepared by Leg Audit as of December the 15th, 1993, with the sources of information being the state accounting system. In the office of the governor, there was $1.1 million. Under administration, approximately the same. Under Department of Law, $732,000. Under Department of Education, $110,701,000. Under Department of Health and Social Services, $15.5 million. Department of Labor had $304,000. Department of Commerce and Economic Development, $1.6 million. Military and Veterans Affairs, about $478,000. Natural Resources, about $10.9 million. Fish and Game, about $14.9 million. Public Safety, about $1.4 million. DEC, about $18.1 million. Corrections, about $3.8 million. Community and Regional Affairs, about $15.7 million. Transportation had about $39.6 million. Even the legislature had $166,700. The university had $38.7 million. Court system had $19.3 million. And in municipal grants, there was about $1.2 million making up the $295,000. So, that's the latest information, and of course, that's a month old, so there may have been significant changes since then.
Representative Larson, I assume that's operating budget you're talking about, and I don't know if you have fund source, but I guess my only comment would be that you and I and 60 other people last year worked hard to try and figure out how to reduce the operating budget some significant amount, and obviously deciding not to spend those unencumbered funds is just exactly that. It means that we'd cut the budget by $269 million, which is... If you think about it, and we're going to cut Department of Corrections by $3 million if that's what we propose to do, which means we'll let people start opening the doors and let people out. Obviously you understand that what you're looking at is not necessarily an indication of what reductions could be made. And I again tell you that we're absolutely interested in discussing it with you. Areas that that. You and we no longer feel the money ought to be spent, then let's don't spend it. But I guess I feel like throwing a number like $269 million out is pretty darn misleading.
Yes, I guess if there's a method to my madness here today, is just simply to bring out the figures that when we talk about $295 million, really to identify what we're talking about, what those programs are. Because it's easy to say we'll take $295 million out of the budget if we don't know what the programs are. But okay. Once you identify what effect it's going to have, it gets a little bit harder. And the second thought would be that even with taking that much out, which would, cause total chaos, you can't close down all the school districts in the state of Alaska, it still isn't enough to meet the budget gap.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, I think I appreciate your concern there, but at least we see something that hadn't been spent yet. Could you give us an idea of some of the perhaps policies you have established now for this year, current fiscal budget that we're spending, that your agency or perhaps the governor or the chief administrator sent out to encourage decrease of the current expenditures? Like, I know you did put a hiring freeze on, and I was very pleased with that. I know normally that there's about 400 people a year that retire. What does that mean? Are those jobs that we can leave vacant next year? And is it possible, sir, to get from you a list of the jobs where they are a freeze on, and perhaps maybe we can look at that, and do we perhaps drop those positions this year? Is that reasonable to think of that, if you felt that temporary, you don't need to fill those positions in, and can we just take that one step further for fiscal 95?
Representative Martin, what we've done on the hiring freeze is that, you know, the governor did institute a freeze and basically said that that the Department of or the Division of Personnel within the Department of Administration won't approve the hiring of any people to fill any position unless they have been exempted from the freeze. Generally, those people necessary for health, life and safety, the Class 1 employees to a large degree, were exempted from the freeze. And beyond that, there's a process by which departments can petition, if you will, the governor through the chief of staff and through my office for an exception to the freeze. And so in response to your question, a list of positions that have held vacant, we don't have that in a central location yet, because those positions that have been held vacant by the departments, they never come to us. So the only thing that comes to us is those that that they feel there ought to be an exception for, and so they've written a request for an exception. I reviewed all of those exception requests, and I'd have to say that 90 or 95% of them had to do with the receipt of federal dollars, commitments we had to the federal government to do things, and there needed to be somebody there to do them. And probably, you know, in the 5 to 10% range were general fund dollars. I guess I'd have to say that a significant percentage of those have been agreed to. Because there was, I mean, the commissioners have been pretty tough on it, and the ones that came to us are ones where there really was overriding reasons. So I'd have to say that a significant percentage of the ones that did come to us have probably been. But there isn't a central list right now of those positions that are being held vacant on account of the freeze. Whether that's available or not, Nancy might can help me where that's possible, but I've not asked for it. So.
To a list, or at least a number, is what I'm trying to get to, that you know that you absolutely stopped. Or increases, and wherever they may be.
We've certainly attempted to do that. We can provide you with a listing, I believe, of vacant positions through Department of Administration. You can see what positions are vacant at a particular point in time, if you would like to see that.
But your department has a final say-so for new position or add-ons or what?
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman.
I don't know how many you stopped yet.
Well, the governor, during his State of the Budget address, said that 1,200 positions had been deleted from the budget. And on page 20 of this budget book, there's an increase of 508 positions full-time. Can you explain that discrepancy?
The 1,200 positions that the governor referred to were from the time he took office until now.
3 years.
Mm-hmm. They were from December of 1990 until now.
But if you look at the figures on page 20 of the budget book, there is an increase of positions.
Well, that's obviously from 94 till now. I can't answer the question right now, Representative McLean, but I'll look at it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's a legitimate question, and I'll find out.
I'm telling you, 178 are in the university.
Mm-hmm.
And you're correct. And I believe one I think what the governor was referring to was executive administration, and there were some areas that were not included in his figures. The legislature, the court system, the university, I believe, were excluded.
Well, we'll get you the comparison, though, Representative.
Please. Thank you.
Any other questions? There was just one more thing that I wanted to note, and it's more for the audience that's with us today than it is for members of the committee or OMB. We oftentimes hear, you know, that don't accept any increases in the budget. You know, that's a statement to make. So in relation to that, I just looked, where could we find $106 million in the budget to offset any increases? And I'm going to read a list now, not that I suggest they be cut or anything else, but I'm going to read a list of programs that we have that are kind of standalone programs, many of which have already been reduced drastically. But all of these programs that I list would have to be totally eliminated in order to offset that $106 million worth of increase. We would have to do away with the Governor's Media Center. We'd have to do away with the longevity bonus, the Alaska Public Office Commission, our Rural Alaska Television Network, Public Broadcasting Commission. We'd have to do away with the single dual site schools, which the Governor has already recommended. We'd have to do away with community schools, Pacific cultural programs. We'd have to do away with WICHE. Whammy. Under health and social services, we'd have to do away with the Hold Harmless, both for the OAA and the longevity bonus. We'd also have to do away with the human services community matching grants. Under commerce and economic development, we'd have to do away with the economic development, the international trade, tourism development, the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council. Under natural resources, we'd have to do away with the state fairs. Under public safety, we'd have to do away with the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. We'd have to accept all the governor's reductions and eliminate the ombudsman's office. And that would get us the $106 million, or not quite as much as what we would need to offset the increases. So the point I'm trying to make here again is that it's not going to be the easy year. And when we make statements, I guess the more we know about the subject, the harder it is to make the decisions as to what should be done. So I guess I don't know where we're at, but we sure have our work cut out for us. So that kind of shows an offset that would be necessary, and of course none of us want to do that. Any other discussion today with the Office of Management and Budget? And none, then we thank you, Shelby and Nancy.
Thank you.
And we look forward to working with you.
No, not the Governor's Media Center.
Oh, Shelby, I do have something for you.
Hey! If one's a thing can do it, sure.
Everybody?
You know, it's pretty much the...
John? Can we stand at ease for 2 minutes? The bill that we have before us today is committee substitute for House Bill 18, Community and Regional Affairs. It's an act relating to police protection service areas and municipalities, and it's by Representative Bundy, who is with us here today. It does carry a fiscal note from public safety at this time of $4,787,600. So we will have discussions both in regards to the proposed legislation as well as the fiscal note. Representative Bundy.
Thank you. If I may, Mr. Chairman, I'd like my staff, Patty Swenson, to join me. She's done been with me through the trenches with this. And so questions that I might not be able to answer, if you could provide me some backup. But I thank you for hearing the bill. The bill is I would like to emphasize, a statewide bill that allows any political entity to contract with the Department of Public Safety for whatever level of service that they would like to have, and may I strongly point out, pay for that service. The fiscal note, you said there are two discussions here, and I will just make a brief comment and then prefer to address the concerns of the committee. The fiscal note, I think we have to be very candid and indicate, is an attempt by the Department of Public Safety to prevent this bill from passing. They do not want to get into the contracting business, and that's
our position. I'm watching my members here.
Do you have a quorum?
I don't.
That's a position that they
can take discussion.
That I'm not going to leave. I'll treat this bill like you choose mine.
Fair enough. It's a position that they certainly are allowed to take. However, I would like to point out this $4 million fiscal note employs some 29 people supposedly to police a particular section of Anchorage that they projected at 40,000 people. These numbers are rather elusive to me. I don't know where they get 40,000 people on the hillside. I walked on and knocked on a lot of doors, but there aren't 40,000 people up there. But the whole notion of this fiscal note is fallacious, because the bill says the people will contract. Well, the people have not decided what level of service they want at this point, so you can't tell them what it's going to cost. The second thing is, once they decide at the level of service and have then been notified by the department what this level of service will cost, then they assess themselves for that level of service and pay for it. So the fiscal note should indeed be zero. Now, why in these difficult times, difficult budgetary times, the department would choose not to generate some income, at least to come up with a break even, that's up to them to answer. But I'm asking that the committee amend this fiscal note and substitute the more logical zero fiscal note. Because one, not only do you not know what people are going to ask for, when they do ask for it, they are required by the statute to pay. So there should be no general fund impact from this bill whatsoever.
If I could ask a question on that point there, would it be where the municipality would levy a property tax, and then this property tax would be turned over by the municipality to the state to cover the cost of the operation?
I'm not sure that it's a property tax.
Whatever.
But yes, the procedure is that a local service area is set up, whatever the amount of service cost, each resident is assessed their portion, and then that money is turned over to the state. It would not be my intention to go through the municipality and have increased overhead there at all. No, it should be a local service area in a contract with the Department of State of Alaska.
But when you mentioned social or service area, is there anything that prevents that area from forming a service area at the present time and conducting police services?
Well, I can only speak to my own specific area and the charter where my district joined the municipality of Anchorage speaks directly to that. They are allowed to have local service areas, for instance, local road service areas, and assess themselves to maintain that level of service. It's a semi-rural area, and they wanted some assurance before they joined the municipality they could maintain the level of service they felt appropriate for that area.
And they could either contract then, once having determine the level of service, and once having determined the boundaries of the service area, and once finding out what the cost will be, they could then contract with either public safety or the municipality of Anchorage to provide the service, or would it be?
Where as the bill is currently written, they could contract the Department of Public Safety. Again, I view this as a statewide issue, Dot Lake, Cooper's Landing, Mendenhall Valley, where the troopers withdrew last year. Should they like to establish a higher level of trooper presence, they could indeed contract with the Department of Public Safety.
I'm just thinking way back in my other life. I know when we had another gentleman sitting here by the name of, he was then Representative Swackhammer, we were discussing three areas. We were discussing Juneau, Wasilla, and the Hillside. And I know Juneau Incorporated, by which I believe now the state troopers are no longer in the area, but it's the police from the city and borough of Juneau who provide the service. Wasilla formed their own police force there. And the third part of the puzzle then is what will take place on the Hillside, and that's what we have before us today then.
Well, the Hillside is the impetus for this, but as I said, it is a statewide issue. If any other entity in the state that would like to increase the level of, we're facing budgetary difficult times, as you so accurately mentioned earlier, and Bethel, that's Tulisac. Doesn't have anybody but a VSO, wants greater trooper presence. Assess themselves, decide what level of service they want, assess themselves for that, and then pay for that. One of the other factors that come into play is, you know, the relative cost comparison for providing the service. You mentioned the Hillside area. Particularly, APD would like to have provide a Cadillac service, perhaps a Rolls-Royce, and the Hillsiders want a Chevrolet or a Volkswagen. And it becomes a philosophical question. Do the local residents decide what level of service they want and are willing to pay for, or does a police agency decide what level they must accept and pay for?
Representative Henley?
Into that, I have a couple of questions, but maybe on that one is a concern. It says that the petition has to describe the boundaries of the proposed area and the additional police protection services to be provided by public safety. So I assume then it's up to the residents to decide what service they want. And my question, could we get into a conflict where, say, the people on the Hillside decide they want three troopers there, you know, full-time patrolling just throughout the neighborhoods, and that's what they say. So that would mean if you've got three shifts in a day of 8 hours, it's nine full-time people. And that's what they say they want, is nine people. Now, what happens if public safety decides that's not, for liability purposes or response time, that's not adequate? I mean, you get into this whole thing of is that all they're required to do, and how specific is a petition, and is it adequate? What if they say they want one? So you're saying that they should be able to determine how many people they want on their Hillside, and then public safety has to provide that.
Well, an informed decision, when you realize that one person will give you a response time vastly different than five, those are informed decisions that people.
My question, I guess, is that I think it's clear here that the petition will describe, and the Department of Public Safety has no flexibility to determine. They just have to provide the cost of providing that specific service that's asked for, whether they feel that they can, whether that's enough or not.
Well, if I might add, I think in the realities of different departments choosing to expand their empires, I think we can feel very confident that
the arguments will be made very strongly to for more service rather than less service for any entity that would ask for service.
One of my questions, and I guess I want to make it clear, I think it's in your statement, but it sounds to me like a neighborhood can determine themselves. So let's go back to Anchorage. I live in Sand Lake. If the people in Sand Lake decided they wanted to go with public protection or a particular neighborhood, I live in a condominium complex, I suppose we could say we want one trooper to come through every so often, and we could, through this legislation, is it not true, could we then exempt ourselves from the police department? So, in other words, we take a vote and we want to provide our own level of service. So can we find communities within communities like Sand Lake or a condominium complex saying, I don't want to pay what the police charge me in Anchorage, I want to go with public safety, and I want to tell them that I want three people. So from your sponsor statement, it appears that that would be possible.
I don't read the legislation that way. This talks about providing additional service. It does not talk about subtracting service.
The reason I said, take advantage of the opportunity on the grounds that they want more or less police protection than the borough is providing. And that's why I would say, I mean, that's the case, obviously, on the hillside, is that they don't want the Cadillac version. They want the Chevy. Well, what if a group that's already voted decides they also want a Chevy now? It seems to me that this would allow them to go back and petition to have public safety cover their area and then have a vote on whatever level they chose and then get out of a previously.
I don't see that if you're in a municipality and without these provisions in the charter that I mentioned for local services, I don't see that you have then the vehicle for exempting yourself from any level of service, whether it water, sewer, or police. But you have to be in a you have to have the municipal vehicle as well as the state vehicle.
So, that was unclear to me because the residents may file for police protection services from the troopers. So what you're saying is for those areas like in Anchorage, we don't have an option where I live of going to this because we previously voted and there's no way to get back at that short of a citywide vote, although the people that have not chosen to vote this on themselves can choose this.
Well, I could certainly envision the entire city of Anchorage choosing to have more trooper presence and paying for it.
How many troopers are providing the service now, and is that the problem? The service is insufficient?
There is no service on the hillside at this point. And if I may debunk a popular misconception, it's not the rich hillsiders not wanting to pay. It's simply the hillsiders, many who are not rich, wanting to get what they pay for. And the initial proposal from APD would not increase service, but it would increase costs significantly. And they're simply saying, we're willing to pay, very willing to pay, absolutely understand our civic responsibility. But let us, and an old American principle, let us get what we pay for.
Representative Martin?
I believe in that for taxes. Is this limited just to the Department of Public Safety and the troopers? For instance, I know that in Mountain View, which I keep close ties with, the people just approved an increase in their service level costs because they want more police there. So now because they increased the service level costs, they will be guaranteed at least three more police officers. So our people are real happy. I'm real happy at community council meetings. And these are poor folks. When I think of your issue, I look at, so that's number one. It's just strictly limited to hiring police protection through the public safety. Do you have the possibility that the hillsiders or anyone else may go through a private provider of police services? Or what other thing? I look at, my friends live in Houston, and in Houston there's about eight different areas, because they are rich, who incorporate themselves separately for police and fire services, and they can pay for the best police services. And so it's because they're rich that they're able to get the higher level of service than other areas, just to reverse from what Hillside. Those are general concerns I have here. Is it limited, number one? Can they do private? Can they contract with the city? I think they already have that right if they wanted to. And what even about a voluntary service force like we're seeing in many inner city areas where they're allowing, and the police department is working with them to have a voluntary people walk around and drive around with walkies and everything else?
This bill is limited to contracting with the Department of Public Safety.
There has
been some thought of contracting with private security firms. I'm not sure that at this point that's something that I would want to encourage. I'm glad you brought up the Mountain View point. People were very proud of Mountain View for wanting to have greater level of service and being willing to pay for it. Yet, there's been a great deal of criticism of the Hillside for wanting to have less service and wanting to pay for it. And to criticize one and praise the other does not compute.
Well, I wasn't criticizing. I was just saying, in this case here, why did you limit it to just public service, public safety, when that is a statewide identity? And if every community begins looking at just the state troopers to buy their services, then we may really kind of compact their burdens of doing what is supposed to be generally now within the state. Well, the city itself decide, well, we're going to get rid of our police department and we're going to contract with the state public safety.
As I said, this bill is designed to have a statewide impact. So any of the outlying areas, and one day when we have outlying areas that are not incorporated and they do become incorporated, they could indeed contract for increased level, very professional service with no disparaging comment about VPSOs, but they're not troopers, and so very professional level of service. If they feel more comfortable with trooper rather than a city cop, that certainly ought to be their option. But it does not have a negative impact on the troopers, because what level of service these people want, they get an informed, accurate accounting, and then they pay for it. So if the people are willing to pay for 1,000 new troopers, why not give it to them?
You made Mr. Swackhammer smile.
We have further questions of Representative Bundy at this time. Representative Terrio.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I was trying to follow along everything that Representative Hanley was trying to get at with the wording here, where it specifically says public safety shall then provide the additional service. The service area will be levied, assessment will be levied for the additional service. So you're mainly concerned with areas that want an additional service?
That's correct.
Now the Hillside does not have any zero. So they're not wanting an additional service to what can be provided in the municipality. They want a service instead of.
Well, let me back up. It is my personal contention that as citizens of the state, we have a certain level of service from the state troopers. When I drive down the road, they don't say, check my ID and say, oh, this accident, you're from the Hillside, we're not going to work this accident. So I have a certain level of service that's I have a right to expect from the troopers. What I'm saying is additional to that very basic